Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. And podcasts of prior shows are also available there under the tab for public affairs. Today is July 29th, 2020. The markets were up today with the Dow closing at 26,539, the NASDAQ at 10,542, and the S&P at 3258. Our topic this evening is retirement planning. We are live. We will take your questions. Lori C. is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And you can talk live on air with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live, you can give your question to Lori. She'll write it down and bring it into the studio. If you have questions that are beyond sharing during the hour, you can also email questions through the website yourfinancialchoices.com. So this evening, retirement planning. And I thought what I would do is start with what I'll call retirement planning 101, and then a little bit about what pre-retirement might look like and what you could consider there, and then retirement, what happens in the retirement years. So when we talk about some of the basics, when we're thinking about retirement and the basics meaning like 101, let's start first with start as early as you can. So let me go into a few of these items and then I'll dig a little bit deeper into them. So let's start as early as you can. Automatic savings make it easier. Understand the tax impact of your different saving strategies. Understand risk tolerance, compounding, diversification, understanding your retirement goals and resources. So it might sound like a lot, but in general, it really isn't if you just break it down and kind of look at each piece and how it's going to contribute to your future retirement. So for those listeners tonight who have not yet retired and may just be in the early stages of their career or getting to a point in their employment where they're actually making more money than what they're putting out and they're accumulating money in their savings, perfect time to start putting that money to work for your future retirement. So when we talk about starting as early as you can, of course, that's the power of compounding. I didn't bring my fancy calculator with me tonight like I have on past shows, but the power of compounding, basically you save, you hopefully invest, and over time, you're based on your risk tolerance and the investments you're choosing, you expect a certain rate of return, and that money starts to make money, and that's the point of compounding. So your money starts working for you, and over time, it compounds, so with interest rates. Automatic savings. What we have, you know, seen is that people seem to do very well with set it and forget it. If people have money in their pocket, in their wallet, in their bank account, there is a bigger temptation to spend that money. That's economics. That was one of the, probably the only thing I remember from Econ 101, microeconomics. I remember our professor said, economics, people spend what they make. So the gift to your future self is to resist spending what you make and making sure that you save something. And so what we have seen are, you know, cases where people will make the saving part of their budget as if it was an expense. So you might have your mortgage, your car payment, your insurance payments, your food budget, utilities, you know, some little bit of travel, auto, those types of non-discretionary expenses, and then putting in a budget item for savings. So you're treating it like an expense almost as part of what you're setting aside money for. That could be part of your automatic savings. You could have money from your paycheck automatically, some of it go into your checking account, and you could set some of it up to go into a special savings account. Where we typically think about automatic savings is usually through retirement plans at work, our employer retirement plans, our employer provided retirement plans. When you start a job, maybe you're not eligible to start contributing to your employer plan right away. Some employers, businesses do allow people to contribute to a retirement account right away. Some you have to work there a certain period of time or a certain number of hours. It could be 1,000 hours, it could be 1 year, whatever it might be, and then you're able to contribute to a retirement plan. Usually you're filling out that paperwork as part of HR, or HR will notify you when you're now eligible. That is their responsibility. And they will ask you how much you want to put away into your retirement plan. So that would be automatic savings. And for people who start doing it very early in their career, maybe 10%, maybe even 15% of their pay, if you never get used to seeing that in your paycheck, it makes it much easier. So automatic savings makes it much easier. You can do it through employer plans, which are 401ks or 403bs, and or even monthly deposits, as I mentioned, through payroll to your bank account, to your savings account. From your savings account, you could transfer it into a brokerage account for investment if you already have an emergency reserve, or, you know, fund something like a Roth IRA. We have clients who do monthly contributions to their Roth accounts as well. If you don't currently have a savings plan, or you're not disciplined enough, you certainly can explore using apps that will help you with that. Apps like Mint or YNAB, which is You Need a Budget, and there's some cost to YNAB, but I don't believe there's a cost to Mint. So, and there's a number of other apps out there that help people manage their spending, putting it in envelopes or buckets, or, you know, using algorithms that predict how you spend money and how you should budget, and they kind of do it for you. That could certainly be something you might want to check out. Another simple technique that we suggest is using what we call the funnel method, where if you know how much money you're spending every month for those non-discretionary costs, you have your paycheck or what other fixed income you might have coming in, you have that all go into a savings account, and once a month you transfer to your checking account what you think your monthly expenses are. And if over time you're transferring more than what you thought, then you're spending more than, you know, what you believed to be your budget. If you have money accumulating in your checking account, then you might be spending a little less, or it might be because you might have, you know, quarterly expenditures or annual expenditures for things like real estate tax. So you want to make sure you give yourself enough wiggle room on that monthly budget. But that is a very simple way to do it. If you say, you know, my non-discretionary expenses are, you know, $4,000 a month and I make $5,000 a month, $5,000 goes into the savings, transfer $4,000 into the checking, you write your checks. The money in the savings is accumulate a little bit. You want to make sure you have enough for emergency reserves. And beyond that, you might be able to take a little bit of that money and invest it. And that is part of the plan of saving for your future retirement. Folks, we are talking about retirement planning tonight. I am on the Retirement Planning 101 ideas. And then we're going to move through talking about midlife retirement planning. And then pre-retirement and then retirement. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You are listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. We are talking about retirement planning this evening, and I'm starting with Retirement Planning 101. And some of these basics that I'm starting the show with really apply throughout our working careers and into our retirement. So when we talk about starting as early as you can, you know, saving, power of a compounding, that kind of continues through, you know, all the years of our working years. And then we are going to talk about some midlife retirement planning, kind of like a check-in, and then pre-retirement, meaning shortly before you retire, and then retirement. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Someone had called and didn't leave their name, I don't believe. And if you meant to, you can certainly give us a call back. But you mentioned, you had mentioned that I mentioned banks, and can I talk about credit unions? So if, when we talk about savings and putting money into your savings account automatically, that could be a bank and it could be a credit union. Personally, I do use a credit union, have for many, many years because, you know, back when my husband and I were at the University of Michigan, we had a credit union account there. And then when we moved here and he started with Air Products has a credit union. There are a number of credit unions in our area. Credit unions, you know, work much like banks as far as savings accounts. And there may be some, you know, benefits in loaning and things like that. So I'm not exactly sure what else you might have wanted me to talk about that, but credit unions are available as well as banks. So thank you for making that point. Folks, if you do have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And we could talk live on air or off air, whatever you prefer. So Retirement Planning 101, we mentioned start as early as you can. Maybe start automatic savings. That really is just a great way to do it. Set it and forget it. Use budget apps if that helps you, or that funnel method, as I mentioned, if you need to, you know, kind of enforce a better saving strategy for yourself to help you become more disciplined. I also think it's important to understand the tax impact of different saving strategies. Many of us think saving into the employer retirement plan is the best thing, and maybe you're getting, you know, some tax deferral on that, and that has a lot of value. There might be other options that you could explore as well. We always like to make sure that people have an emergency reserve, that would be cash in the bank or the credit union. You might be putting some of your savings in a Roth IRA. That has different tax impacts. That's you don't get a deduction for that up front, but you do get tax-free growth on that for the future. That might be another area to explore. And some people might put some of their savings just in a regular investment account where they're investing in mutual funds or ETFs or stock. And there's different tax characteristics to those kind of investments that you might have than earning interest on deposits at a bank or on a CD. We're talking about ordinary income versus capital gain tax rates on qualified dividends and long-term capital gains. And of course, putting money into our retirement accounts, if it's a regular 401k or a 403b on a pre-tax basis, that's ordinary income also and growing at ordinary income tax rates. So you want to understand the tax impact of the different saving strategies you have. I have seen where people save all their money in their retirement accounts, and then when they retire, whenever they need money and they have to take it out of their retirement accounts, it's all ordinary income because they didn't diversify their saving strategies. And I have to personally admit that that's where my husband and I have done the bulk of our savings as well, in the retirement accounts. Number one, we want to make sure that we understand when we're putting money in our retirement accounts through our employer, is our employer giving us a match? So, you know, if you're not putting money in an employer-provided plan and they are doing a match, that is lost money. You really, really want to make sure that if you are working and you have an employer-provided plan, even if you think you don't have the money to put away, if you are missing out on an employer match, you really want to sit down and have a talk with yourself about kind of managing your expenses so that you can at least put money in your plan to get the match. Some employer plans don't match at all, and some employer plans have a safe harbor plan where they automatically put money in whether you do or not. So for those people who are on a super tight budget, don't have a penny to spare, if you're with an employer who has a safe harbor, at least you're getting some contributions to your retirement account there. So make sure you understand the tax impact of the different saving strategies. Understand risk tolerance. So what is your time horizon? What is your age? What is your comfort with short-term fluctuations? What is your comfort with long-term fluctuations? What are your cash needs? What are your goals? If you're planning on buying a house in 2 years and you're saving all your money in your retirement account at work, you might not have money for the down payment. So you want to think about that. Then you might say to yourself, well, what if I'm saving outside of my retirement plan and I'm putting it all in the stock market? If I'm going to use it for a down payment on my house, then my time horizon is a lot shorter. If I'm going to use it for a goal I have in 2 years, I may want to be a little bit more careful with that. So risk tolerance has a lot of facets to it. It could be the time horizon, not just for your retirement, but the time horizon for whatever goal you might have for that bucket of money. Compounding, we kind of already talked about how the importance of that. You want to get your money working for you while you are working too. I love that. I love thinking about that. Like, I'm working hard, but my money's over there working hard for me too. And it helps you reach your goals a little bit faster. And again, you have to be disciplined enough to have that money, you know, on the side to hopefully grow over time. We talk about diversification within your investments, within your portfolio. That's where we talk about asset allocation. But I also believe you should think about diversification in your savings strategies. As I mentioned before, when we talk about where are you saving money, doing those automatic savings, whether it's in an employer plan or a Roth account, a bank account, credit union account, or you know, just a brokerage account, that is a diversification of your saving strategies too. I love the thought of someone being able to you know, if they need money and they're in a pinch, that they can tap it from a number of different sources. I mentioned earlier that sometimes people will have all their money in retirement accounts, and every time they need money to, you know, for something, they take it out and it's all huge taxable income. I do have a client who did that, but we also converted many, many years ago a Roth, and he was originally thinking he would pass that on to his heirs. Well, the Roth has grown substantially, and he needed some extra money for some landscaping he was doing. And if we took more out of his IRA, it would have thrown him into a little bit more tax situation, but also expose him to higher Medicare premiums because he was going to be over a threshold. I said, let's take it out of the Roth IRA, and we avoided that. So that was nice to be able to have somewhere else to go to get that money. This show is going very fast. I'm not even done talking about the basics, and then we still want to talk about midlife retirement planning, pre-retirement, and retirement. Of course, some of this overlaps, so hopefully we will get it all in, but also have time for your questions. If you have any, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me or off air. Thank you. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music, from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can certainly give your question to Lori and she'll bring it in. We're talking about retirement planning. And in particular, to start off, we're talking about retirement planning 101. So we talked about starting as early as you can, automatic savings, understanding tax impact, understand your risk tolerance, power of compounding, diversification in saving strategies and your investments, and of course also making sure that you have that emergency reserve, so important. And many, many people have really found out how important that emergency reserve is during this time of, job loss or jobs getting cut back or hours getting cut back. It's really great to have an emergency reserve to lean on. And then part of your retirement planning 101 also should be understanding your retirement goals and resources. Now, if you're a 20-something-year-old, you might be thinking, I have no idea. 65 or 60 seems like a lifetime away. Believe me, it goes very, very fast in a blink of an eye. I can remember what it was like to be 17 yesterday. So you think retirement goals, maybe you're not sure what that would look like, but what we do have sometimes are kind of role models. We can look at our family, our parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, to kind of see what kind of measuring stick, they might have provided. Were your parents or your family members or your mentors, were they set up for retirement? Are they struggling? What is the conversation that they have at the table? What did you grow up listening to? And a lot of times that is what forms our ideas of what we want for ourselves. We might have parents who spent all their money. We might have parents who were miserly and never spent a dime. And maybe you don't want either of those. You want to live a balanced life. We do see that millennials today saw how hard their parents worked and saw the trials they went through with, the various recessions and upsets in markets and jobs and such. So that they might want to try to have more of a balance and not live maybe a life that they deem to be, you know, I don't know what I can say here. Let's see. You know, where they're too tight on money or too extravagant with money. People maybe want to live as minimalist and maybe feel their parents or their loved ones, you know, spent more than they should. So everyone kind of starts to develop their own ideas of what they think they want in life. Maybe they say, I don't want to have kids. I saw what it did to my parents. They ended up with no money because they were put all the money into the kids. Someone else might say, my parents only had one child and I didn't like growing up as an only child and I want a bunch of kids. Well, those are going to be two very different retirement goals as you go through life and planning for retirement. So understand your retirement goals and, you know, what resources you have. You have to recall that when you're looking on your parents or your grandparents and seeing how they're doing in their retirement years, you have to ask maybe, hey, how are you guys managing? Did you save for your retirement? Are you living on Social Security? Maybe your parents have a pension or your grandparents have a pension. We're not seeing pensions really as much anymore. A lot of companies have either frozen them for the people who are still working, who are eligible for them, and not offering them to new people, or they've done away with them altogether. So a lot of pensions aren't there for people. Defined benefits, they're going into retirement, not having that, but relying instead on Social Security and any money that they saved themselves. So you have to understand, what are your retirement goals? Do you think you're going to be a world traveler? Are you happy just sitting at home? Do you like fancy cars? Do you collect things? Do you want a big house? Are you, you know, comfortable with living within your means? So you want to make sure you understand that for yourself as early as you can. And at some point, I think it's really important to reassess that midlife. So I'm going to call it midlife retirement planning for those people who are in their early 40s. I would prefer if you're not one of those people who at 62 comes in and asks, is it okay? Do you think I can retire at 63 or 65? So for the people who start especially kind of assessing where they are, early, maybe in their 40s, to kind of do like a midlife checkup. So taking an inventory of your assets and liabilities. And what I mean by that, and I've talked about this on prior shows, is you want to understand what assets you have and also what are those assets doing for you? What are you making on those assets? So do you have retirement accounts? Do you have savings accounts? Do you have a retirement plan? Do you have a Roth IRA? What are the values and what kind of returns on those investments are you getting, so that you understand, again, what are your total assets and what are you making on those assets? But you also have to take a picture of what your liabilities are. Typically, people who are in the early 40s, you may have a house, you may have a car, you could have a mortgage, a car loan, a home equity line of credit, home equity loan. You want to know what your liabilities are, what's the dollar amount, and also what they're costing you. So when we talk about an inventory of your assets and how much money you're making, we also want to look at your liabilities to see how much they're costing you. If you have, you know, $200,000 of cash in the bank because you're so worried about things, but you also have, you know, a $200,000 mortgage that you're paying 4.5% on because you never refinanced, then your money in the bank might not be making anything, and you could certainly make a dent in that mortgage. So those are things you would want to explore and evaluate whether it makes sense to put some of that cash against some of that mortgage. That's just an example, but that's why taking an inventory of your assets and your liabilities, knowing how much money they're making you and how much your liabilities are costing you, are going to help you in that midlife retirement planning, set yourself up for that future retiring. Because it would be best to try to work down that mortgage before you retire, because you might not have as much income stream coming in those retirement years. All right, folks, we are talking about retirement planning tonight, and we are now to the midlife retirement planning, kind of the self-assessment to see where you are. And this really could happen, you know, even 10 years before you think you're going to retire. But I think early 40s is a great time to reassess and sit down and look at all of this. And of course, for those people who started even earlier, you're going to be that much further ahead, and I congratulate you. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Good evening, WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I'm Shondi Gray. It is 6:30 and 90 with clear skies. Lehigh Valley weather tonight, it's going to be clear, low around 69. Thursday, mostly sunny. Then a slight chance of thunderstorms, high 91. Thursday night, low around 68. Friday is going to be mostly sunny, high 87. Friday night is going to be low around 66. And for your Saturday, it's going to be sunny, a slight chance of thunderstorms, high 89. Saturday night, low around 69. Now, back to your financial choices with Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Shondi. Shondi has such a great voice and a great name for radio and television and broadcast. Shondi Gray. Sounds like it should be in lights. Thank you, Shondi. And thank you for being here every week,
thank
too. Folks, you're listening to Your Financial Choices, and this is your host, Lori Siebert. If you have questions this evening, we are here. We are live. Lori C. is in the studio. You can call and give a question to her, and she can bring it in to me. Or if you would like to talk live on air with us, we'll patch you through. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We're talking about retirement planning this evening, and this midlife retirement planning, it's probably a good idea to do this at any time, but especially kind of midway through your career, because I think it gives you that much more of a runway in planning for that eventual retirement. And you may think at 40 you want to work till 65 or 70, but at age 60 you're going to think, I wish I could retire at 60. That's kind of how that works for some people. I'm just being funny. But so part of the midlife retirement planning, take an inventory of your assets and liabilities, know how much you're making on your assets, know how much your liabilities are costing you, especially if it's credit card debt, probably the worst kind of debt at very high interest rate costs. So that is something you really want to make sure you try to get under control. Another important review needed would be for risk management, which is a review of your insurance needs, especially for disability, life insurance, and long-term care. Life insurance for those people who are still working, have mortgages, possibly children, education. If you're married, you have a spouse, you want to possibly plan for replacement income should something happen to you, and a surviving spouse may have expenses that, you know, were based on your dual income. So that's why we like to look at life insurance, but we can't rule out disability. Quite often, employer plans may offer some short-term and long-term disability. Maybe you can buy extra. You want to look at how you're paying for disability, if indeed you have it. Are you paying for it? Is the employer paying for it? If you're paying for it, you want to do it on an after-tax basis, not a pre-tax basis, because that impacts the taxation of that disability when you eventually get it, if you need it. It can happen, so you want to make sure you do a review of your risk management. And this is a time to review those retirement goals again. Remember, I said if you start really early and you think about what you want in your life when you're young, it might be based on some preconceptions you had growing up in, you know, a house surrounded by people who maybe spent too much or didn't spend enough, or you know, didn't have realistic goals. So time to review retirement goals based on your life experiences and where you want your life to go. Maybe you didn't know anything about traveling as a young person, and as you grew into adulthood and maybe met new friends and, you know, folks and people in your life, you learned to travel, and now all of a sudden you love traveling, and that was a goal you hadn't thought about 15 years before. So you want to revisit your retirement goals to know what you're going to be planning for. Review your cash flow. Is there any room in your budget at this time to save even more? Again, economics, we spend what we make. Sometimes we, you know, we buy a bigger house and we fill it up with more things. Is it time to revisit if that's a good strategy? Cut back, declutter, and trim the spending. Review your investments. You might have been had a completely different risk tolerance 15 years ago or 20 years ago because you were younger, you had a longer time horizon. Those things change. Your views on life, your views on the markets change over time. You should revisit that from time to time. So you want to review your investments, see where you are with them. Are you comfortable? Do you want to continue to take a little risk, or do you want to take a little risk off the table, depending on where you are in your life and how you're feeling about that? Also reviewing the tax cost. Over time, maybe you were doing Roth contributions when you first started working because through your employer plan. So employer plans can offer pre-tax versions on the 401k where you get a deduction for the money you put into your retirement account. That's because when you eventually take it out, it's all taxable. Or you may be so young that they offered you a Roth version, a designated 401k where you're putting money in on an after-tax basis, and that money that you put in is on an after-tax basis and would come out tax-free, not the employer portion, but the employee portion. And maybe that worked for you. Maybe you were in a really low income tax bracket when you first started off. And, you know, 5 years later, 6 years later, you've gotten some promotions. You've done a great job. Maybe you're married now and you now have a spouse who might be making oodles of money as well. And now you could be in a higher tax bracket. Do you need to review the tax cost of how you're saving? Because maybe now the Roth might not make as much sense as doing the regular 401k. Maybe you have extra cash flow now, and instead of just putting money in your retirement plans at work, you have enough extra money that you could put it into a Roth if you qualify with the certain adjusted gross income limitations. So if your income is below a certain threshold, you could put money in a Roth IRA on a tax, there's no tax deduction for it, but it would grow tax-free. And the beauty of that is you can always take out your original contribution. So a Roth IRA is a great way to have some savings. If your income is too high to do a Roth, you may be in a position where you could do what's called the backdoor Roth, where you make a non-deductible contribution to an IRA and then convert that to a Roth, and you have basis and don't pay tax, and that's a way to get money into a Roth. However, if you already have IRA monies outside of that, that complicates that conversion, so that may not be as attractive. So you got to be careful with that. So part of this midlife retirement planning, take an inventory of your assets and liabilities, understand what your assets are making and what your liabilities are costing you, review your risk management, which are your insurance needs, review your retirement goals, your cash flow, your investments, the tax cost of those investments, and then one more time, what will retirement look like? What are you seeing? What are you visualizing? What are your goals? If you write down your goals, you tend to go toward them. If you don't write them down, then they're just in your imagination. So you write your goals down. What is it going to look like? And that's how you, can add to the chance of success for yourself when you have those goals written down. So now we've made it through starting off early and doing a good job. We've made it through our midlife retirement planning. And now we're getting very, very close to retirement. We're very excited. It's like a breath away. So now what do we want to make sure? We want to make sure that we have our emergency reserve already, because it's a tiny bit like walking off that cliff. So if you've been working and you've been making great money for, you know, the majority of your life, and now you're going to retire, that cash flow isn't going to be coming in at the same velocity as it has been while we were working, because we may not be, we need our investments to last us through whatever number of years. If, think about it, if someone retires at 65 and they started working at, I'm going to use 20 to make it easy to do the math, 45 years of working, and they retire at 65, well, they could live to 95. So that's another 30 years. So for 45 years, if you were working and spending that money on all of these, you know, living expenses that you had, and now you're not going to have that wages coming in anymore, you have to have made sure that your sources of income for your retirement are going to take you through the next 35 years. And that sources of income would be a number of little options, which I'm going to tell you about. So, but the number one thing you want to make sure is you have that emergency reserve. Okay. And the emergency reserve, I remember when I first started in this business, we used to say 3 to 6 months. We also used to say, well, you know, a credit card could serve as a little of a backup. Well, now I'm just like, I mean, I use a credit card myself, but we pay it off every single month. I just see what credit cards do to people. So I am in ever fear for people to use credit cards unless you are so disciplined that you can pay it off every single month. And I was talking with my son about this, who's 24, and he, you know, graduated from Kutztown with a degree in accounting and financial planning. And we were just taking a walk yesterday, and he said, Mom, you know, one thing I really would like to do is someday be a teacher and go back into the schools and teach this in high school, because it's not being taught. And I said to him, hon, we've been talking about this for years, that these are subjects that are not taught in high school about basic financial planning and, you know, what do I want? I don't want to say budgeting, because people don't like that word. Spending and knowing what it means to have a credit card and the cost of having a credit card with interest rates, or using a debit card where you're not seeing what you're spending and not thinking about what you're spending. So it would be great to kind of help young people learn that. But this even goes through then into retirement, when all of a sudden now you don't have the wages coming in anymore. How are you going to make ends meet? Emergency reserve, used to say 3 to 6 months. Now I say probably at least a year of your spending in an emergency reserve. Now let's talk about where the rest of the money is going to come from. So if you did a good job with the starting early and saving, and you've done your inventory and you know what your assets were and you know what your investments were during those working years, what are your options going to be in for retirement? And again, this is before you really retire. We're getting right there up to the edge. What might be your sources of income? Well, we've talked about 401ks and 403bs. We've also talked a little bit about Roth IRAs or IRAs and your savings accounts, of course. We mentioned that you might have some of your money in non-retirement accounts, meaning like in a brokerage account, where maybe you're investing in mutual funds or stocks or exchange-traded funds, kind of outside of your retirement accounts. So those are all options for your you know, to provide income flow to you in your retirement years. I mentioned you might have a pension. So there are still people working who do have pensions. And in step with companies that have tried to do away with pensions, what they've also done is offer more options to people that otherwise qualify for those pensions. And that could be in the form of a lump sum payout, so that these companies don't have to continue administering these ongoing pensions for, you know, decades that people are living into their 90s, especially the people who get pensions. They just, you know, seem to live forever. I'm making a joke. They might offer a lump sum. So before you retire, you want to make sure that you get an illustration of what that looks like so that you're not making assumptions. If you retire a little earlier than you thought, that pension options might change. So you definitely want to ask your employer, HR, for your pension options. If you have a spouse, you definitely want to ask for the survivor option pension illustrations as well. I have seen this where people have given me their pension options. It has nothing about survivor options because when I look up in the corner, it says that the person is single when in fact they have been married for a long time. So not sure how that works, that maybe when someone first gets a job and they're single and they get married and they never notify their employer. But you want to make sure you know what pension options you're looking at. Folks, when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion on retirement planning and some of the areas you want to focus on pre-retirement. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and it may be tax deductible. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and you're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY. 88.1. You can listen to podcasts of prior shows at wdiy.org as well under public affairs. And you can always let your friends and family who are across the country, let them know that they can listen online as well and or go to those podcasts. They are available. We are talking about retirement planning this evening. If you have questions, there still is some time. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And we are talking again about retirement planning in the pre-retirement stage, right before, you know, you're going to retire. Within months, probably, you want to make sure that you get a pension illustration if you are eligible for that. If you have a spouse, we want to see the survivor options. If you don't understand what pension options are, sometimes there would be a lump sum available, meaning it's the net present value of that future stream of income that they otherwise would pay you, and they'll just pay you out in a lump sum. Sometimes pensions don't offer the lump sum option, and they might just offer a monthly benefit. It could be single life, meaning over just the employee's lifetime. If you have a spouse, you might be able to do a 100% option, 50% option, sometimes a 75% option, meaning if I take a pension during my lifetime and I die, if I chose 100% survivor option, then my spouse would step into 100% of the benefit I was receiving. If it's 50% when I die, my spouse would step into a 50% survivor option, so it would be half. The idea is sometimes when one spouse dies, the survivor doesn't have as much in, expenses and needs, etc. So sometimes an employee may choose a lower survivor option to provide a higher lifetime benefit for them. And the single life is typically the highest benefit, but if something happens to you the next day, boom, it's gone. So there are also, I'm seeing more and more, options for term certain. You could get a maybe a 10-year term certain option or a 15-year term certain, meaning if I make an option for that one, if I live 10 years and I picked a 15-year term certain, my pension would continue to pay out to a beneficiary for the remaining years, not another 15 years, but the remaining years. If I picked a term certain of 15 years and I lived 20 years, then it's done when I'm gone. So I still would get it for my entire lifetime, but at least for that term certain. Those are pension options that really need to be evaluated and understood when you're thinking about retirement, to make sure that whatever your goals are for your retirement, that the pension option you select is going to provide the means that you need to fulfill your retirement. Social Security, you want to make sure that you understand the Social Security options. Again, this is all pre-retirement to kind of see, can I really do this? I'm on the last stages, maybe I'm a year or two away from it. Is it all coming together? Are all the pieces coming together? So you want to know what kind of Social Security would be available to you. And you also have to make sure that you count that if you are married and you have a spouse, are you relying totally on both those double benefits? Or if something happens to one, because remember, even in Social Security, if one spouse passes away, it's just the remaining, the survivor steps into the higher benefit of the two. So if you are a married couple, you want to make sure that you can manage in any number of circumstances. If you're not married and it's all on you, you definitely want to make sure that you are going to be comfortable with the cash flow available to you. And if it's a single life option or, Social Security. And if you're not married and don't have children, single life could work very well for you. But if you could be single and have children as well, and maybe you might want something like a term certain then in that case, if you need to provide something to the children or coordinate that with your risk assessment. Remember I had said on life insurance. Another important piece to review pre-retirement is your health insurance options. This is one of the biggest, or could be one of the biggest, costs we have in retirement, which is health insurance. If you're retiring pre age 65, then you would have to go, obtain your own insurance, either using COBRA through an employer. If you're separating from service and you had health insurance while you were working, you may be eligible for COBRA for some time, like 18 months. Or you could go obtain insurance on the marketplace, as long as that is still available. Or if you are age 65, you would start Medicare at age 65 if you don't have other qualified coverage, like through a spouse. So Medicare Part B is age 65 if you're not working, and it only covers about 80% of our medical bills, so you want to make sure that you have a supplementary policy. The Medicare Part A covers the hospital. Medicare Part B is the doctors and things like that. So you typically need a supplement policy. You want to make sure you understand what your health conditions are and what kind of coverage you would need, to see if that is going to be affordable and have you saved enough to be able to cover those expenses. You might want to also make sure, if you have a home, if you're a homeowner, that you have a line of credit or home equity loan prior to a home equity line of credit prior to retiring, when you can still qualify for one when you're working. Once you retire, you may not qualify for that. And that could be something just to have in your back pocket. Not to say you have to put any money on it at all, but if you have some unusual occurrence, a tree falls on the house or something, and you have to put money out up front, that line of credit could come in very handy and could keep you from having to tap your investments at a time where it may not be convenient to do so, or may not be a good time to do so. All right, so pre-retirement, you want to kind of make sure where you are, have all of the steps you've taken to get ready for retirement, have they, come to fruition? Are you going to be in good shape and ready to go? So finally, yay, you get to retire. You've done everything. You feel pretty good. You got yourself set. What do you want to make sure you do? You want to make sure that you revisit your inventory. Remember that inventory of the assets and the liabilities. What are my assets? How much am I making on them? And my liabilities, how much are they costing me? Because this could be the time to make sure you tie up loose ends on that if you hadn't already done it. So revisit your inventory. Revisit your cash flow, set up that funnel method I talked about earlier, or some spending discipline. Maybe it is using one of those budget apps. Forbes.com had an article on a number of different apps. They said the best apps of 2020, and Mint was one of them, and that YNAB You Need a Budget was one of them. And then there were several that I actually wasn't even familiar with. So it's very interesting to me in this, you know, day and age with technology, they're just constantly coming up with new apps and things like that. So you want to make sure that you find something that works for you. The funnel method is a very easy way to do it. You could have Social Security all go into your savings account. If you have a pension, it could go into your savings account. If you have interest in dividends and you're relying on that income from your investments and it goes into a savings account, or maybe you decided to take a little bit from your retirement account, you could all have it go into a savings account and do the same thing. Transfer it once a month to the checking account, how much you think you're going to spend. That's the funnel method. If you have to keep dipping into your savings, then you're spending a little bit more than you thought you were going to. It is a year of transition when you retire. So I try to remind people of that you're in a year of transition. And you don't want to go crazy. You want to make sure that you're easing into the new spending patterns that you might have. What sometimes people find out is they're not driving as much. They're not going to the dry cleaner as much. They're not shopping as much. But on the other hand, sometimes we have people who do go crazy. You know, they're traveling, they're taking cruises, they buying new cars, they're buying that Corvette they always wanted. So it is a year of transition, and I just like to caution people to kind of ease into it to make sure they get a feel for it and how it's going. Some people go crazy and say, you know what, I thought I was ready to retire. I've got too much energy. I need to go back to work at least part-time. Sometimes they do consulting. That works too, but that also has some consequences you want to make sure that you consider. If you retired before full retirement age and you decided to collect Social Security, then you change your mind and you decide to go back to work, maybe part-time, that could have some implications to your Social Security benefit. So you want to make sure that you're coordinating that and just kind of understand that year of transition. Another big important item to do, and this really is any time, but in particular at these milestones of retirement, is to review your beneficiary designations and contingent beneficiary designations. I always recommend that people have both a primary beneficiary and a contingent beneficiary. The primary, in case something happens to you, whether it's a joint bank account or a IRA or a Roth IRA or a 401k, that life insurance, that primary beneficiary is the person that you definitely want your assets to go to. And you could name more than one primary beneficiary. You can name any number of primary beneficiaries. But I usually like to see also contingent beneficiaries. So if I name my spouse as a primary beneficiary, I might want to name my children as contingent in case something happens to both my husband and I. Now, that's not getting into the whole conversation is, if my children are minors, do I really want to name them as contingent? Well, it's better than nothing if you don't do your estate planning. So that's the other piece. We want to make sure you're doing your estate planning. That applies for any time in your career, really almost any time in your life. But your estate planning will make sure that your beneficiary designations are all aligned and in order, and that could include setting up a trust that if something happens to you and you have minor children or children that are too young, you're worried about them, you know, inheriting so much. You want to work with a good attorney to make sure that the children receive the assets the way that makes sense for their age and their capabilities. So you may need to have a trust to kind of dribble the money out over time to them. All right. So retirement, revisit your inventory, your cash flow, your understand it's a year of transition, review your beneficiary designations, do your estate planning, review your risk tolerance, make sure you're still comfortable with how you're investing now that you're retired, and then sit back and look at your home and declutter and organize and, get things ready for that day you decide you're going to give up living in the winter climes and take yourself to the warmer ones. So you want to give yourself always the advantage of being ready for any opportunities that present themselves as we go along. So I hope that tonight helped with a little bit of an overview on retirement planning, and I hope that whatever is keeping you from paying attention to your own goals, that this kind of breaks those walls down and helps you move forward with, you know, maybe simplifying it and just trying to look at what you can a step at a time, a day at a time, to help you get to where you want to go. So automatic savings, start as early as you can, understand the tax impact of those different savings strategies, try to diversify your savings strategies across more than just retirement accounts, understand your risk tolerance, understand the power of compounding, diversification, and understand your retirement goals and your resources. Thanks everyone for listening tonight. I really appreciate it. Next week, we're going to talk about something called Regulation BI, Regulation Best Interest. Everyone's getting papers in the mail, and I thought we would talk about that. Thank you, Lori, for being here. Thank you, Shandi, for being here. Thank you, listeners. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.